I must make another correction from last week's episode.
This is going to be just a new recurring theme.
Apparently, if you listen to the Arcade Cafe last week from Arcade Bookshop, Bryce so astutely pointed out to me that I've been saying the word ethereal wrong.
Yeah.
I always say ethereal or ethereal. I've been saying ethereal. It's incorrect. I don't think I'm saying it right anyway. Ethereal. Ethereal. It's just I skipped a something or other, but fuck it. Fuck it. Saying how I like it. Why do I say it, though? Because as this episode has dropped last Friday, my story, Asher Kang versus the Army of the Undead, has been published in Ethereal Nightmares. Twisted Horror Anthem. I keep forgetting the fucking rest of it. Too many. We were just talking about the Gridiron Gates. We were putting it in your bio for a submission, and they were like, what the fuck was the rest of it? Gridiron Gates of Hell, and it's a horror anthology for charity. There's always something tacked on to these anthologies that I can never remember. The subtitle, it kills me. But anyway, I'm in Dark Home Publishing, Ethereal Nightmares. It's going to be good.
Good.
Buy a copy.
Do it now.
Maybe if I'm real lucky, I already have my copy in hand.
Yeah.
I hope my contributor copy is the hardback.
That'd be nice.
Usually it's the hardback, but you never know. I don't know. It's coming from ye old England, I think so, or somewhere in the UK.
From across the pond.
I never actually stopped and asked, hey, what part of the UK are you from?
Yeah.
So, Spencer.
The white part.
anywhere but London, I guess. So, Spencer, you submitted a story to the Siren's Call.
I did, yes.
You excited about that?
We'll see.
We shall see. It's a good publication.
It is.
They accept a lot of, or they publish a lot of stories. I don't know if they accept a lot of stories. They must get a lot of stories. So that was the only thing that sucked about me getting published in the spring issue was that there was a lot of competition. Yeah. So it's like, are people reading this whole thing? And I was near the back too. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it's like page 195 out of
2
something.
Because it looks like there's a lot of people in them.
Yeah, they definitely have a lot of stories. But anyway, I wish you luck on that.
Thank you.
Hopefully,
I feel good about having it in pretty early.
Also, you accidentally fit their theme.
Accidentally, yes. That seems to be a theme.
You wrote a story about, we'll just say fires involved, and their sub-theme was can't stand the heat.
Yeah.
That's fucking perfect in my opinion. So you are in a story ready to go rip-roaring. So today's episode is going to be Spencer's idea, probably. I told him to think of one, so we shall see how that turns out after the musical introduction.
It should probably be an extra long musical introduction.
Enjoy this 30-minute Conway Twitty song. You are listening to the Drunken Pen Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Caleb James. With me today, Spencer, the Jacksonville Jabberwocky Jacker Church.
Do I got to wear like those masks? And
I don't know. You're jacking them.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely wearing the gloves.
Well, yeah, if you're robbing them, that's what you're jacking, right?
Like
you're
stealing, yes.
Because this arm motion can get quite flamboyant.
And jerky.
Yeah. So, Spencer.
Caleb.
The episode that you suggested.
Yeah, that I definitely suggested.
I told you to think of earlier that you definitely came up with and not me.
100% idea. You know, I know for 100% at surety what you're about to say.
Yes. And that is 10 horror movie villains with the worst motives.
Yes. That's a yes.
Which we'll expand on to maybe literary villains we've read that have terrible motives.
Mm-hmm.
So number one on this list of stupidness. Rachel from American Psycho 2, the shitty one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I've ever seen that one.
It was bad. So American Psycho's main character, Patrick Bateman, is one of the most enigmatic and complex villains in cinema history, and I would imagine it is the book as well. His successor in the film sequel, American Psycho 2, is anything but.
I don't think it doesn't help that it had a what's-her-face player, Meg.
No.
Isn't that who it is?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes, so. It is. It is. It looked different in the picture. She had curly hair in this picture. Morgan J. Freeman's flick, originally named The Girl Who Wouldn't Die, was intended to have nothing to do with American Psycho. I'm going to assume it's a different Morgan Freeman. That's why I threw that J.
Right.
Which perhaps explains why protagonist Rachel's motivations feel so shoehorned in. Having witnessed Patrick Bateman killing and dissecting her babysitter, Rachel kills the main man from the first film and embarks on a career as a criminologist. Sounds like a criminal if she murdered someone, but okay. She spends the majority of the film attempting to further her career and learn more about serial killers by picking off as many of her classmates as possible. So she went the, I'm going to learn about serial killers by being one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fucking dumb. Yeah, stupid, but kind of smart. Right. Oh, you motherfuckers. You dirt. I'm not even going to give a name to this website.
Oh, really?
Because they're very litigious.
Yeah.
It's a popular British one, I think. I did the next button. It's one of these. Oh, look, it just went to fucking houses. Maybe that's not correct. How do I fucking read the rest of the article?
You get paid for it.
Probably do. No, oh, no, it's the smaller next button at the bottom beneath the giant next button. That's a trick.
It makes sense.
Oh, this sucks. Roman from Scream 3. It's just going to be a bunch of shit movies, isn't it? I was hoping this was going to come up, be like, hey, Pinhead's motives are kind of stupid. Why? And then, you know, give some kind of interesting take on it, but no. So what's worse than a terrible horror movie villain with a terrible motive?
Two of them.
A horror movie villain with a terrible motivation that also stomps all over the continuity establishing a beloved predecessor. You're ruining our childhoods.
Yeah, yeah.
Feige, Catherine Kennedy, Bob Iger. They always bitch about those people ruining their childhoods. As if you could fucking ruin someone's childhood by remaking a movie from the 90s that still exists to this day.
Right.
It's not like they erased it. It's like, oh, man, I don't like the live-action Aladdin. They ruined my childhood. Will Smith smacked a guy on TV. He's a fiend. Like, well, what the fuck, you dickhead? Just watch the original Aladdin. It still exists.
Yeah, that's Robert Williams in it. It's much better.
It's way better. It was always going to be better. What's the new one they're bitching about already?
Well, I know that they're doing a Lion King like prequel of Mufasa.
Yeah, that's dumb. Live action as
well.
Yeah,
with the live action.
Oh, there was another one that's come. You know, I don't even want to talk about it. The mopey villain from the worst entry in the original Scream trilogy, Roman Bridger, was revealed to be the son of Maureen Prescott. Born out of the R word. Are we allowed to say that on air anymore? Did we get demonetized?
I don't believe we are, but
so born out of a rape during her time as an actress. You thought of a different R word.
I thought of two different
with severe okay, this guy sucks. Fuck him in the butt, right in the, well, maybe that's, if that happened, he probably would have been born to cause ass whatever he did. Now this one I always thought was great motivation personally. The Slaughters, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Next Generation. This is the manic. Oh, what the fuck's dickhead's name? Oh, when I said manic, all of a sudden I just keep thinking Manic Monday. Matthew McConaughey, the manic Matthew McConaughey in this. Basically, the Sawyer family, which they changed their name in this movie, I think. Is that what it is? The Slaughters? I don't know, but they changed their name for some stupid reason. But in the original, they killed people to make them into barbecue. Mm-hmm. World class award winning barbecue. In this one, they just kill people because it's fun and they're crazy. I liked it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need a motivation. It's not a good movie.
Especially for like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's not
like,
going to be a good movie.
Actually, if anything, the motivation might ruin it.
Renee Zellweger was in it, just getting beat up a lot. I like when
that's why you like it so much.
Her stupid lemon sucking face. I like when Chappelle did that Chappelle show. It was like a, I think it was like one of those family swap episodes.
Oh yeah,
where it was like white people moving with black people, vice versa. And he was like, Chappelle's on the toilet reading like White People Weekly or something, and he was like, "Who the fuck is Renee Zellweger?" Tom Cruise is looking bad. Scientology will get you every time.
Eventually.
Once your thetan levels go too high, it's over.
It's over.
The TV await further instructions. I'm not even going to read it because I don't know what it is. It's British. It's a quirky, low-budget British horror movie that follows a family trapped in their home where a mysterious command on their television tells them to wait further instructions, and they cause problems. Stupid. Dumb. We're trying to do mainstream here. such as Bay number 6, Bayfield Babyface Killer and Happy Death Day. They're just, this is the bottom of the barrel. It's a dumb idea you had here.
It is a terrible idea that I had.
So Groundhog Day meets Scream. Happy Death Day is all about the mysteries behind why Tree Gelbman wakes up repeating the same day until she is murdered by Babyface, as well as the identity of who is behind the mask. I actually watched this movie, and I remember it was kind of funny.
I heard that it was, like, you know, yeah, good. I don't know, but didn't they do a second one, too?
Probably. The killer is eventually revealed to be Tree's roommate, Lori... spoiler. Lori Spangler, though her motivations don't do the film's inventive premise nearly the justice it deserves. Lori attempts to poison Tree with some cupcakes, donning the Babyface mask. Why is she killing people? Tree is having an affair with Dr. Gregory Butler, a man Lori also has her eyes on. So it's killing, that's why. It's a dumb. How do you get stuck in a cycle?
Death loose.
The shark from Jaws, The Revenge. It's a fucking shark. It's a fucking shark. It's a fucking shark. It's a fucking shark.
It's hungry. You're in its fucking home.
It's a fucking shark. Does it really need motivation? It's a fucking shark.
Wait, one more time. What is it?
It's a fucking shark. God damn it. It's a fucking shark. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
But its motives were suspect at best.
Is it the revenge part? Because that sounds like you gave any more of a motivation to the shark than ever was existing in a shark. Because it's a fucking shark. So if the shark is trying to get revenge, at least that's a motivation, yeah, which it did not have before, other than I eat stuff. And you know what? I'm sorry, but in the original Jaws, shark ain't that hungry. He's going to be going up on a boat and doing all that. He's a big shark. I know, sure, he gets hungry. He got the munchies, but he, like, that's too much work.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to get more fat kids on, you know, tubas and stuff. Inner tubes, not tuba. Fat kids playing the tuba. So anyway... Shark wanted revenge.
Is that what it's saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the title. I'm not reading. I'm not reading any of these anymore. Fucking that just that soiled the list.
What the fuck is shark? Jaws is one of those ones I said we should always read the book to see
if the shark had a motivation.
Well, not so much that, but just to see, like, how it, you know, stacks up to the movie.
I want
to
know the shark's character arc. Was it, like, bullied by bigger sharks, and then that made it aggressive, and then it got big by eating other sharks, and then, I don't know.
The secret origin that they never tell you is that fucking captain murdered that shark's family. Well, it was just a little baby shark.
Number 4, Dr. Lawrence Gordon from Saw 3. Not my sweet Prince Wesley. He's never a prince. He's the Dread Pirates Roberts, though. Yeah. Dread Pirate Roberts. He's not multiple pirates, but there are multiple Dread Pirates Roberts. Damn, mm-hmm. I keep saying pirates. You know what? He had to cut off his leg in the movie. I don't know. Did he succeed? You know what always bugged me about that Saw movie, the first one? So he had a cell phone,
mm-hmm,
and he couldn't reach it, and that's why he had to saw off his leg.
Right.
Instead of trying to saw off the chain, the pipe, or use the saw
to reach for the cell phone,
which was right in front of him, or his shirt, or anything.
Anything.
And also, and I'm sure I sent this to you, somebody took a screenshot of the phone when he finally gets it, and it has the date
before 9/11 or something.
It was September 10th, 2001. So it's like, tomorrow's going to be a bummer, too. Like, this sucks. So apparently, this has a convoluted motivation here.
Oh, what, a Saw movie has convoluted motivations? No way.
So after cutting off his own foot at the end of the first film, Cary Elwes' character had been working off screen as Jigsaw's apprentice. He is tasked with protecting Jill, Jigsaw's wife, and when Hoffman kills her, he kidnaps him and locks him in the same bathroom that housed him. So why, he had a pay dispute or something. I don't.
Oh, is that why he wasn't in a lot of them?
No, that's why he was sawing people.
Oh.
Leprechaun 3. Wait. Oh, number 3, Leprechaun. Leprechaun 2. So the Leprechaun's motivations in Leprechaun 2... Mm. We're not up to snuff. You want to know why?
Why?
Well, first, whether it be through seeing Jennifer Aniston's taking her first big step into the world of I thought that was going somewhere else for some reason. Big, taking a big something. Warwick Davis is it Warwick Davis? Because this says Warwick Davies.
I thought it was Davis.
I thought it was Davis too. He has a stellar performance as a fucking dancing leprechaun, Irish stereotype. What's his motivation, Spencer? That's what I want to know.
Murder?
Murder, that's usually it. But what causes him to murder?
They took his gold?
Leprechaun intends to marry his daughter when she sneezes three times without someone saying God bless you.
I mean,
that's his motivation.
I mean, that is a pretty shitty motivation.
Yeah, somebody steals the gold. People are going to be so mad they listen to this. But he's not explaining all this stuff right. I don't understand. A fucking leprechaun. I know there's more to that. See, what had happened was they also stole his gold. Who cares? Ooh, number two. I always like this one. Tommy Jarvis from Friday the 13th.
Okay.
So he, Jason's killing people, and then it turns out to be Tommy Jarvis. I forget. Isn't Jason like his hero or something for some stupid reason? He was mentally scarred so much by the killing spree from Jason that the two personalities began to merge together.
Mm.
Stupid, but I mean, it's like a diddler diddling kids because he got diddled.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I like Drake's latest diss track that came out, something Heart 6 or something. Everyone is just putting it's always because Kendrick Lamar kept calling him a pedophile. So, in like four different songs that dropped all like, you know, pretty close together. So, Drake made this big song defending himself, and everyone just keeps putting, all he did was write a song from It's Always Sunny Philadelphia, do not diddle kids. Oh, no, do the diddle kids. And it's like, that's basically what it is. You wrote the Do Not Diddle Kids song. Number one on this fine list, Zach Sanford, There's Someone Inside Your House. And I don't know who that is.
Mm.
But it says number one. I should probably read the motivation, huh? I was going to close it out and not read the motivation. But
you bastard.
Zach is angry at how crooked his father is as a businessman and a bigot for good measure. It's a question mark, so I don't know if that...
Is he a bigot? Or does he just think that the races shouldn't mix? What is it?
What the fuck? He just doesn't like his neighbor Shorty Shorts. Buying and selling farms and turfing families out on the street. So he... It was all fucking stupid. What a dumb idea.
That was a terrible idea.
That was the dumbest thing you've... A fucking shark? It's a fucking shark. It's a fucking shark, dude. I don't get it.
A shark? Had terrible motivation. What
the fuck's the motivation for the cat in Pet Cemetery? I want the motivations for animals now.
Oh, what about the fucking the dead baby from Pet Cemetery? Like, what's his motivation?
I'm not dead no more. I want to play with you, Daddy.
That's like, what's the big rig's motivation from Pet Cemetery? Like, they ran over the fucking kid.
Fucking too much of that, I don't know, that was in the 80s, so what, meth, I guess, some kind of speed.
Cocaine, probably.
Cocaine. So can you think of any stories or movies or popular forms of entertainment where the villain had a terrible motivation and it just ruined it for you or soiled the story in some way?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of just like the mustache twirling villain of just the, I want to destroy the earth to destroy it. Like, you know, no kind of thing. I know one dumb thing was like I guess back in the day, in one of the Fantastic Four issues, comics, that the, you know, because, you know, Dr. Doom's supposed to have this, like, scarred off, terrible face. You know, that's why he's wearing the mask and everything like that. But and they do this story, like I said, I think it was just like a one issue kind of thing where they actually revere, like he takes off his mask and it's just like one small scar right below his eye. But he's so vain that he's this disfigured monster now. Like, you know, then that's why he wears, you know, the.
Didn't the original Lex Luthor have the lamest motivation?
Well, yeah, but like Superman made him lose his hair. Something dumb like that.
Superman made him bald.
Yeah.
There was a good chance he's going to go bald anyway. Yeah. Yeah, that was a bad one. You know what? This might be a little...
You know what that proves, though? Like, because before, whenever Luther had hair, he was a ginger.
Yeah.
So one of the most evil people on the planet in the DC universe...
Ginger.
Is technically a ginger.
Mm, I see what you're saying.
Mm.
Anyway, this is going to be a controversial take.
Okay.
The Joker from The Dark Knight...
Okay.
Had a stupid motivation, aka no motivation. I just like chaos.
Yeah.
Me. He's dumb. He's the dumb motivation. Even just the Joker in general, his motivation is just to cause trouble.
Yeah, it's just chaos.
Stupid.
Mm.
He's a stupid guy.
Yeah.
With a stupid face and dumbass motivation. Still better than that fucking shark. It's a shark.
It's a fucking shark. It's a fucking shark. That should be the fucking title of the episode is, it's a fucking shark.
It's a fucking shark. I can't put swears in the title. One time I put something, it wasn't even an official swear. It was like hell or something.
Well, can it be like a, you know, like an F, like ampersand.
Yeah, maybe.
And sign, something like that.
Probably crash the algorithm. Ain't you flipping shark?
Just, sharks have
if
flippers.
I do that, I could do the picture of the fawns jumping over the sharks. Oh, shit, son. I don't know. I can't think of any more motivation. What was the... Okay, the greatest literary villain of all time, the judge from Blood Meridian. What was his motivation? He's just a raper.
Yeah, he just liked killing things with his privates.
Like violence.
Yeah.
You see a theme here with these lame motivations, but the characters are still very popular.
Well, like, just, because in the Wolverine book, they're doing, like, this big thing with, like, Sabretooth. And so, like, Sabretooth is fucking stupid. Like, he just doesn't like Wolverine, so he's just, you know, he thinks Goody Two-Shoe now or something, you know, whatever. Like, he just misses him, so he's just going to torture him.
Well, Mr. Glass from Unbreakable.
Yeah.
What was his motivation? It was like, oh, I want a real-life superhero to come about. So right, I'm going to kill everybody until it happens.
Yeah, I'm going to be the supervillain that causes the superhero, I guess. Something like that.
Kind of dumb.
Yeah.
You got fragile legs. Why are you doing that?
You got fragile everything. You breathe too hard.
Your name's Mr. Glass. Yeah, that was, and he had a fucking dumb-looking afro.
Yeah, the weird hair always did kind of would throw me anytime I watched that. I still never got around to watching Split or
they're good.
Or the one with the all through when it, you know, with all of them.
I read the name of that one. I think it was called Slap Nuts.
Yeah, Slap Nuts by M. Night Shyamalan. Slap Nuts.
You see a preview for that movie he got out with Josh Hartnett, where Josh Hartnett is a serial killer who's taken his daughter to a big concert. And then while he's in the concert, he realizes the whole place is surrounded by cops. He's like they're like locked in. He's like, what the fuck? And he talks to somebody that works there, and they're like, oh, we're trying to catch a serial killer. Mm. And then he's like, ah, shit. And he's trying to laugh it off. So now he's trying to figure out how to escape, I guess.
Oh, see, like, I remember seeing, but I didn't know, like, that's what it was like.
But it's M. Night Shyamalan, so it's going to have a twist.
Yeah.
What do you think the twist is going to be?
He's not the killer.
He's not the killer. Yeah. He's just a jackass.
Though it's nice to see the Josh Hartnett getting some work. I always liked him. I didn't mind him as an actor.
Wasn't he in what was the big Oppenheimer?
Oh, was he in that?
They get a substantial role in Oppenheimer.
Oh, really?
I didn't see it, but if Mike, you know, you watched the movie.
Yeah.
Was he in Barbie too?
Maybe.
That'd be funny. So yeah, that's the character motivations that suck butts. 24 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like character motivations. I want my characters to be bland and stupid and just blundering through life.
Well, we might have to do next week to counteract this, and since we actually have some time, is maybe find like good, you know, villain motivations, like or at least maybe like the most common, like, you know, like the wanting revenge or wanting a thing that they think's supposed to be given to them, you know, kind of thing.
Well, let's look at them. So you got Freddy Krueger. He got burned up.
Yeah.
By some parents.
He just did some diddling.
They I think retconned it with the Jackie Earl Haley to make him the diddler. Okay. But in the original one, he was a child killer.
Oh, okay.
Didn't go into diddling, at least not. But he always licking still, people. Yeah. He's always licking through phones and shit. Yeah. And he's always tonguing stuff. I think he's diddling. Just a little bit.
Well, if he probably wasn't diddling when he was alive, he probably started diddling when he became a supernatural fucking being.
Demon thing. So his motivation's pretty solid. Jason's motivation, he was picked on and essentially was a special ed kid who drowned because the campers were diddling each other.
Was too busy fucking.
Whoa, I'm not going to say that. They were fornicating. And now he hates fornication.
Yeah.
So if you don't fornicate, you're not going to die. Well, not as bad.
Yeah.
The virgin always lives.
Yeah, but I don't think that's by, like, he's just like, oh, you haven't had the sex yet, so I'm going to spare you. Like,
Now, the first Friday the 13th, when the killer is actually his mother, that was a better motivation.
Right.
Revenge for my son. Now, let's look at the Hellraiser series. Their motivation's weird. You open a box, and they're not actually evil, are they? They're just interdimensional sex freaks, but it's not that they necessarily go there to kill you because you have to summon them.
Mm.
So their motivations are unclear.
I'd say there's like, because like one thing that popped in my head is like we were talking about before, like with the Lion King, what's his face who fucking kills Mufasa and
Scar.
Scar, you know, like greed. He wants the thing that he thinks.
He wants the power.
Yeah. And
also, you fucking name your brother Scar. Like, he's got a big scar on his face. His name's not actually Scar. It's not his real name. It wasn't his birth name. It's like, oh, I have a wound on my face. Let me call me Wound Face all the time. Let me call you Seeping Sores or something. Yeah, I might have a little bit of a complex. Here's another great movie or TV or book villain with a wonderful motivation. Chucky from Child's Play. He was just a serial killer.
Yeah, he just likes the killing.
And then he becomes a doll.
And likes the killing some more.
It's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I never liked Chucky. It's like, why don't you just not kill? People not fuck with you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like how you get reincarnated as a doll and your first thing is just like, I gotta fucking kill somebody. I need the blood.
You know, most of the anime villains have stupid motivations if you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's same with a lot, you know, like a lot of comic books, you know?
Yeah. It's like Frieza. What's his motivation? Power.
He's just evil.
Just evil. Cell, he's just made to be evil. Pretty much anyone from the Dragon Ball universe usually doesn't have great motivation.
No.
The motivations on Death Note were interesting because the villain, I think if I remember correctly, started off trying to do good.
Well, I was going to say, because like, I never watched that, but you know, I've just seen so much stuff about it. It also seems more like, what was the word I was going to use? Like,
Bonertastic.
Bonertastic. Like, maybe smart, maybe? Like you know...
Cerebral?
Maybe. That's something.
That's not the word.
No, it was not. I fucking... What are you talking about with the Death Note? Like
detectives and crime and...
I lost it.
Thriller,
no. Just continue on your bit.
No, I don't have a bit, so I was just trying to make you talk more. Yeah, but Death Note was an interesting one, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe more personal, I think, was what I was...
Personal?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. When you look into the character motivations of a lot of fiction, it seems like people generally, especially now, don't flesh it out enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's your motivation? I fucking got fired, so I went on a 30-day killing spree. That seems a little excessive.
Well, that's one of the hard things. We already talked about the writing thing of, like, the motivation and also, like, that leads into, like, the... Would these characters actually? Is this something that a character would do?
Yeah.
Other than just being like, I'm just doing it because that's what the plot needs to do. Other than you know, you find like in the horror stories, like, why are these people doing this? Like, nobody in their right mind would do the things that these people are doing. You know.
I heard a blood curdling scream from that dark abandoned house.
Let me check it out.
Yeah. Call the fucking cops and they can do it. Ooh, I see a big shark in the ocean. I should go fucking swim.
A fucking shark.
He won't kill me because I never did anything to cause him to need revenge. He's a shark. Unless he's revenging, he won't get me. So, and I know he won't be revenging because I just met the guy.
He doesn't have a scar on his face.
That's fucking stupid. Okay, we'll end it with this. What motivation?
Shooter McGavin.
His motivation
is just he just wants, you know, he just is an asshole.
Yeah, but that was a competition. Oh, I guess he did go above and beyond to be an asshole because he wanted to be like in your face.
Yeah.
He didn't like somebody that didn't train his whole life to be a golfer.
I mean, he got fucking what's his face ran over, like,
yeah,
right before the big putt.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
They're making a second one of that.
I hear that.
But there's gonna be no Bob Barker or Chubbs, so
yeah.
It's a little sad. Carl Weathers.
I mean, unless they did like a flashback or like a heavenly scene, they wouldn't have been able to do it anyways.
What was I gonna ask you? Oh, what about your stories? Can you think of any specific motivations that you've had? And it doesn't have to be bad guys, but just characters that actually makes the story make sense.
I mean, I always try to have like a reasonable thing of like if it's like the somebody getting screwed over by something and having it actually be something that's worth, like we were saying, that would maybe, like, you know, that would make a character want to do whatever thing you're having them do in the story that's making it readable. And then, like I said, like, oh, I stubbed my toe. Now I'm going to murder my boss.
I told him 14 times to put the chair and push it under the desk. And he left it out and I hurt my toe. I can't think of anything specific, but I do know I always have specific motivations in play. But I could probably do a better job of it. But it's also in short work. It's not as
needed.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, so my one horoscope story, the villains were cops who were very racist and they, you know, left people out in the ice to die up in Canada. And you might look at that and be like, well, what the fuck's their motivation other than just racist? Mm. That's kind of weak. It's true.
Yeah. I mean,
based
sadly,
off of true stories.
I mean, well, and then, yeah, sadly, like, that's not. You don't need much more than that in real life for people to do fucked up things other than them just being like racist piece of shit.
Right. Now, I've done, especially in my fantasy stories, more fantastical motivations that, but usually it's still rooted in some kind of real world event. Not real world, but in fantasy world, real in their world event, not a supernatural or anything like that. But that's enough of this chit chat. Right. I'm hungry as fuck.
Yeah, Nitro came down to tell us to shut up.
Yeah, he's like, you guys spent 20 minutes doing a submission and I'm doing this dumb podcast still. We'll end it, buddy. So I am Caleb James, the host of the Drunken Pen Writing Podcast, and this has been another great episode. And if you want to tell us how great it is, you could do so on like iTunes and Apple Podcasts. I don't know if it's the same thing. Spotify has a review feature, I believe, and whatever you listen to your podcast, that probably has something. You can follow us at DPW Podcast on X, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. You can follow me at CalebJamesK.com and see all the publications I've been mentioning. I have links on the publications tab. Some of them will just download if it's an e-zine, or it'll take you to where you can purchase and or read the thing I'm in. Spencer, what is your OnlyFans this week? You're Jack and Jabberwockies in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
On camera.
On camera. But I have the mask on, so nobody knows that it's me.
How many Jabberwockies are there?
There's enough.
Hmm.
Depending on the job.
We thank you for listening. We will check you probably next week. Maybe Spencer come up with the fucking idea for once.
Probably won't.
A fucking shark. 'Grace, what are you doing?
Trying to, you know, game.
What?
This game is really hard.
Pac-Man?
Yeah.
Dude, you're supposed to be playing the game for next week's episode of Arcade Bookshop.
I mean, I will. I'm really close to beating this.
Right. And what about the book?
Huh?
We're supposed to finish a book for the podcast, too?
Oh, yeah. I finished that last week. Yes!
Oh, did you finally beat it?
Uh-huh. The first level.
Oh, boy.
You can listen to new episodes of Arcade Bookshop every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your pods. You'll always find us with a controller in one hand and a book in the other.
Hey Caleb, you wanted to see me?
Ah, Spencer, my good fellow. I've been expecting you.
Yeah, so did you want something or...
Want? Goodness no. Require.
Require?
Yes. I require your services for the briefest of moments.
Okay.
Surely you can see the predicament I'm in.
Well, actually, no, I can't. I lost my glasses at the pub last night.
A pub, you say? Surely you can't be serious.
As serious as a fart during a recto exam. And stop calling me Shirley.
Rightio. Anyway, if your spectacles were affixed upon your face, you'd see that I, the host of the most prodigious writing and books podcast in the business, has been immobilized by a rather substantial stack of fallen folios.
What?
My to-read pile finally fell on me while I was taking a nap.
But you're on a podcast table.
I hardly see how that matters.
And you're naked!
I hardly see how that matters.
Dude, your hairy ass is touching my drink coaster.
I hardly see how that matters.
It matters to me!
Can you just unbury me?
No way. Your reckless reading got you into this mess.
Blockhead! Wait! Don't go! There's a copy of War and Peace wedged in my taint! Spencer! Can you at least leave me a bottle of whiskey? Hello? Can't get enough drunken nonsense? Listen to new episodes of the Drunken Penwriting Podcast every Tuesday wherever you get your pods.